So we wanted to see how many people were using AI, how many people felt comfortable or were nervous about it, what were their fears, and then also what were the use cases around what they're using it for? Because we really wanted to see where can we fill those gaps? Where can we take some of the more manual or administrative or time-sucking tasks and use AI to help with that? What really surprised me was that 73% of our staff describe themselves as explorers, so moderate understanding of AI, moderate adoption. And we had no one self-report as a novice.
They keep telling us that it's all over for HR. The age of AI is upon us, and that means HR should be prepared to be decimated. We reject that message. The future of HR won't be handed to us. Instead, it'll be defined by those ready to experiment, adopt, and adapt. Future-proof HR invites these builders to share what they're trying, how it's going, what they've learned, and what's next. We are committed to arming HR with the AI insights to not just survive, but to thrive. Hello and welcome to the Future Proof HR podcast, where we explore how forward-thinking HR leaders are preparing for disruption and redefining what it means to lead people in a changing world. I'm your host, as always, Thomas Kunjapu, CEO of Cleary. Today's guest is Stephanie Leal, the Director of HR, Learning and Development at Mission North, a strategic communications firm serving the future of work and innovation economy. Stephanie is leading the charge to build AI fluency across her company, not just in HR, but especially for client-facing teams supporting emerging tech brands. Stephanie is building a practical cross-functional learning initiative with measurable outcomes. She's also helping HR reimagine its own role in this new landscape. Stephanie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So I'm so excited to talk to you about how you've been thinking about bringing in the learning and development mindset into your firm, especially for Mission North, where you are working and with a lot of your clients who are pretty tech and AI forward, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah, I've been working at Mission North for about 10 years, and over a decade, I've been able to shape my career here in the HR space, deepening my expertise there, and really moved into a learning and development role because it's the part of HR that really excites me. It touches so many aspects of the employee experience, from onboarding to career development, to performance reviews, and of course, training. So AI has really become a top priority for us because of how much it doesn't just shape the learning and development in HR space, but also it's a huge learning opportunity for our whole workforce at Mission North and the impact it can have when we're upskilling our employees and evolving our skills and the ability to take those skills to our clients as they bring their AI expertise to the world. So it's a really great opportunity right now. It's a really exciting space to work in.
So would you say, from at least for you, from an L&D perspective, is a lot of the L&D about AI?
Currently, yes. So we launched a learning and development initiative this summer that we're calling Navigating AI, a Summer Learning Journey. And it's our biggest priority in terms of upskilling our employees because we want to make sure that they feel confident in the new tools that they have at their fingertips, that they are finding it supporting their work and their outputs, that it's giving them time back and more time and efficiency so that they can do deeper strategic work for their clients. And then that they can also take that to provide even better counsel, even better trust from our clients into not only are we advising you to reach a broader audience with your tech, but we are also confident in the emerging tech that's coming out for all of us. I think it's a double header. It's a two-pronged learning opportunity for all of us. So I'm really excited to be spearheading it. And I'm really excited that Mission North is motivated and excited by this learning opportunity too.
Okay. I want to get into much more in-depth there, how that works because of everything from the genesis of the program all the way to how you're executing on it. But first, I was thinking we could study that saying about 8 in 10 HR practitioners are using AI in their day-to-day use cases, but only a tiny minority feel like they've gotten any kind of job-specific training. Now, I think this is interesting for us to talk about because it's in the context of setting up a whole L&D program all about AI upskilling for not just HR, but the entire like workforce. So as you're seeing this kind of gap that's being talked about in this article, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think one of my biggest takeaways from the article was about how having a company mandate AI does not spread innovation, it spreads fear. So we don't want it to come from this you must use AI approach, but more of creating an environment for all employees, not just HR employees, of experimentation, of sharing resources, of, you know, sharing use cases and best prompts and things like that, so that we can all continue to evolve our skills there. I think for HR specifically, I can understand why a company might not be able to offer HR training specifically for AI. But one of the best things about HR as a profession is the networks that are available, because so many people on HR teams are one or two people in an organization or just one. Mm-hmm. So I've found that some of the HR focused newsletters or templates, there's different organizations. Obviously, there's HR organizations like SHRM, and then there are more specific places based on where you're located. But people are really sharing resources right now. And so I think I would suggest that HR professionals leverage their networks, try to find those resources because they do exist. There are HR and L&D specific AI trainings. And then also assess what their companies are offering in terms of personal professional development and see if they can use the stipends that their companies might offer, other kinds of training benefits like that, to really seek out what they're looking for. I know at my company, we are mostly PR and integrated marketing professionals. And so our AI trainings are really tailored to those skills. But for our HR team, we're constantly sending each other the best prompts that we found from a newsletter or templates that we can use for our own work. There really is such a great opportunity for knowledge sharing right now.
Absolutely. And it's a great point that you talk about. There's not a single company where the HR team is like the majority of the employee base.
It can be a lonely group of people.
Right. So it's interesting because the article is talking about HR practitioners needing to practice what they preach, because the L&D role is going to be, like you said, at least in your current state, a lot of it is about enabling AI and upskilling with AI skill sets for different types of functions. But then you need to be able to practice what you preach a little bit, or you need to understand the material. You need to kind of be a little bit native in that. And so it's important for HR professionals to get in there and just have something rolling. I'm actually a little bit skeptical about the vast majority of HR practitioners actually using it today. Now, it's maybe if you're doing like a Google search and you're like, instead of doing a Google search, you're doing it like in ChatGPT, that kind of counts, and it's a self-reported kind of data. But I think there is a big opportunity, so much so that I'm personally working on content and training for like HR professionals to get started from nothing to like I know what ChatGPT is, to like actually getting more productive use, and also the frameworks for how to think about it, because that's often missing, like which direction, how do I apply it, when should I apply it. And the article talks about a gap then between the enthusiasts and like the rest that naturally will emerge if there's not like any kind of structure. And so I do see that happening, right? So there's enthusiasts, maybe like you, right? That's and kind of like that. Those are the folks who are listening to this podcast, or like getting out, trying things on their own, experimenting a bunch. And because we're in the early days, it's almost like that's like the best experimentation, and just being exposed constantly seems to be the better method than thinking of like rigid training modules, at least like trying your best. Although I'm curious, because you're rolling this out at scale at your company, but it's really interesting. Gives us a moment in time of where we're at. So let's come to your use of, or your program for around like L&D and how you started developing it, Stephanie. So when we were talking beforehand, I think you said it all started off with a bit of a usage survey. Mm-hmm. And then that's how you kind of went downstream from all that. So what was the survey about? What were you looking for? What did you uncover?
Yeah, so we wanted to see how many people were using AI, how many people felt comfortable or were nervous about it, what were their fears, and then also what were the use cases around what they're using it for? Because we really wanted to see where can we fill those gaps, where can we take some of the more manual or administrative or time-sucking tasks and use AI to help with that. What really surprised me was that this was back in April. 73% of our staff describe themselves as explorers. So moderate understanding of AI, moderate adoption. And we had no one self-report as a novice. So low understanding and low adoption. I myself said I was a skeptic, and that is moderate understanding, low adoption. I come from a more Luddite sensibility than I might be letting on right now. But I thought that was really interesting. And there was no one who reported that they never used it, but almost half the company, or actually a little more than half the company, was using it every day. So we knew we had people who were definitely experimenting with it, but we didn't know how comfortable they felt in it. Or we were worried right. that if we didn't fill those gaps of or those skills, that they wouldn't be using it to the best of their potential, that maybe we would have data at risk, whatnot. So we really wanted to understand where people's baseline was.
Okay.
And then we wanted to know what their biggest concerns were. And that was, in fact, privacy and data security. That was the top thing where people were like, I want to try it out, but I'm nervous that if I say something, it's going to suddenly be training public models on my data. Yes.
So that's interesting. You have great employees who care about that stuff proactively, which probably has to do with other, you know, trainings and onboarding and things that you've got going on. It sounds like the first baseline where you're trying to just get an understanding of your population. Sounds like you segmented under either skeptic, novice, explorer, or there's some—
And then super user.
Advanced and a yeah. super user. And so that's interesting. So you got like a baseline of like where like folks thought they were. And from there, what do you do next? Even before that, like, what was the intent? Like, why? What was the trigger for you to even send out the survey?
It's interesting. Back in 2023, when this really started to become something that seemed to be popping off, we came out with an AI principles that were fairly generic, basically try it out, use it, but don't say anything that is proprietary information, and it shouldn't be the only thing that you're using. At the time, I think there was much more fear around the kinds of output that you would get from AI. And we had everyone do fairly generic courses. At the time, we were using LinkedIn Learning, just about what is AI, what is a large language model, and things like that, and then basic understanding of it. And we really wanted to get more specific around how folks could use it. So it wasn't just, I'm trying to draft an email, or I'm writing a brainstorm or something, and more actual tasks that people use, you know, and not to say that AI isn't great at crafting an email, but just that there were more opportunities out there. We also wanted to make sure that our employees knew that we were prioritizing it. So it wasn't just like a flavor of the week. We're kind of interested in this. We're going to forget about it tomorrow. So we did the survey. And then from there is really when we started launching into more of a show and tell. We have people who are super users, let them show us the ways in which they're using it. So that was really the next step of the journey.
Just to make sure I understand, so in 2023, you'd set up some principles. And so there was already, it's kind of in the water. People are using it on their own, their subscriptions, with some guidelines about how you can use it. But then in 2025, it sounds like the trigger was you wanted to have more structure around how you can get people from the most surface level use cases to go deeper into specific workflows so that it can actually make an impact on productivity and just fundamentally how the functions or whichever function you're in, how you operate. So that was a trigger for the survey, if I understand that correctly.
But exactly, then yeah.
You got these results, and then was it as you expected in terms of like most people using it once a day or for everything, especially as you're looking at it as an L&D team or like an exec team in terms of what you want to do next? Or did it surprise you and you had to pivot the L&D approach?
Actually, I feel like it was surprising in a positive way, where I think I assumed that there would be more people who identified as novices, people who never used it, people who were very against the idea of incorporating it into their work. But it was really exciting to see that people were really ready to jump in with both feet and try it out. What they were missing was that the evangelizing and maybe the hands-on workshops to really see what it could look like in their day-to-day work so that it was less theoretical and more so tactical, that they could really start using it.
So it sounds like your strategy for that, what you did next was, so you have the LinkedIn learning and the generic like understanding what LLMs are, like how to use things so that people are at that level. But then you went to getting your super users who are self-identified to start doing show and tells. So the idea is evangelism, right? So tell me more about that, what you did post-survey.
Yeah, so after the survey, we did it right before we had an all-company offsite, which we hadn't done in a few years. It was a great opportunity to get us all together in person. And one of the sessions that we focused on was the kickoff of this AI show and tell, because we had a certain teams of people for certain client groups were beginning to really incorporate it in their day-to-day work for those clients and wanted to show it off to the rest of the employees. And again, I am coming in as a skeptic. I was not a person who was using it every day. I was a little hesitant, especially around security. And one of the AI platforms that we have in our work tech stack is Gemini. We use Google Workplace. So to me, I thought Gemini was just that little pencil icon that pops up when you're writing an email that says refine. And I truly did not realize that it had its own sort of ChatGPT-esque platform. And I didn't know about all of the other use cases. I didn't know about Gems, which is essentially Gemini's custom GPT, or I didn't know about Notebook LM. And so in these show and tell sessions, employees that I trust, that I work with, that I look up to, showed the group how Notebook LM had an audio generating feature, or the power of Gems to cut out the constant prompting of your Gemini. And it was really great, I think, that we did it in person, because you could really see people's wheels turning and a lot of aha moments, not just my Luddite aha moment, but people asking questions and really starting to think about the ways that they could use it themselves. And so that was really the first iteration. And from there, we now do AI spotlights monthly in our all hands. So we're always, again, just trying to find, hey, this is an opportunity that we use specifically with this piece of AI to help this client. And then we do biweekly show and tell sessions every other Friday around different use cases. So most recently we did building a GPT. We've done building media lists, which is something that PR professionals do, things like that. So it's been really interesting and just a really great, they're informal, they're discussion based. Someone's sharing their screen and then it opens it up for everyone else to jump in and build their own. And yeah, it really generates a lot of enthusiasm, I think.
This has been a fantastic conversation so far. If you haven't already done so, make sure to join our community. We're building a network of the most forward-thinking HR and people operations professionals who are defining the future. I will personally be sharing news and ideas around how we can all thrive in the age of AI. You can find it at gocleary.com/cleary-community. Now back to the show. So let me ask, so it sounds like you're doing a lot of bottom-up sharing, mm-hmm. just leveraging the work that's already happening and trying to help that spur it to spread even further. On the other hand, another tactic is which we kind of talked about a little bit earlier, is about having a mandate, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone needs to be using X and you need to show Y progress in any kind of way. Was there anything communicated in that from an executive communications level that's like more mandate-like, or is it completely all about just, hey, opt in and it's in the culture that like managers would recommend, hey, you probably want to attend this or you should show this off? How did you balance that part?
So we got another group of people together back in 2023. We had an AI task force. We got the gang back together with a couple new super users, and we came out with an updated AI principle around our philosophies and around the way that we, you know, that we want AI to be used. And again, we're not mandating it. It's not that intense, but it's more so about how, you know, if you're using AI, you still need to have human oversight. You still need to be doing quality control. We own our output. We need to also be fact checking. We need to make sure we're eliminating bias, all of those things. And then also, what do we recommend in terms of the most secure AI platform? We have a paid Gemini account. We have a paid Team GPT account. And if you're using something like Claude or ChatGPT, make sure that use it with a paid version so that you can opt out of training their models. I think those kinds of guidances are really important so that we're not just letting people go willy-nilly and then inheriting that risk that comes with it. And then the last part of it is about continuing to grow. It is going to continue to evolve. We're going to continue to evolve with it. We're not going to set it and forget it. If we need to continue to shape these policies or principles and update them, like, we are definitely going to do it. And the same with the different kinds of AI opportunities or, you know, agentic AIs that we want to invest in and things like that. We're going to keep looking into it to make sure that we are supporting our staff and that they feel empowered to use it as a tool, but not completely rely on it.
Okay, and then can you tell me about, are you putting this into the onboarding process at all, or does it even go into the employee culture to the point of even in job descriptions or in interviews? How does this mindset and set of activities, if at all, does it apply to the new employee experience?
Yes, so we are definitely putting the AI principles into the onboarding with the employee handbook. So it is a part of our policies at Mission North that we expect that folks are using it, and we want to make sure that you're using it thoughtfully. We also, in addition to these show and tells and hands-on trainings, we also rolled out a series of trainings from Section that are focused on PR. So there's four courses that people take asynchronously. And that is also going to be a part of onboarding. So in addition to attending your typical compliance trainings at the beginning of onboarding, you'll also have these to watch asynchronously through the first month with different checkpoints as you go through to make sure that you feel comfortable and confident. Obviously, because new hires will have missed the sort of hands-on show and tell workshops that have already occurred. So they could watch them, they could watch a recording, but we also just want to make sure that folks are checking in with them to say, do you have any questions around AI? In terms of job descriptions and interview processes, it's definitely a conversation that we're having. Because I think when I talk to other HR leaders, I think the thing that concerns people the most is a lack of transparency around AI use. I heard a story about someone doing an interview and using ChatGPT while they were on the interview to generate answers. That feels a little, again, Luddite here. It feels duplicitous from a HR, you know, recruiting standpoint. But at the same time, I think it's okay to use ChatGPT to improve your resume or help craft a cover letter. And I think it's okay to also use ChatGPT to craft your job descriptions or things like that, you know. And I think as long as you're being transparent about where AI is coming in and then the human component as well, that kind of saves or avoids some of the heartache or confusion around how it's being used. I think folks, rightfully so, are concerned about AI assessing resumes and cutting people without any human check on what the AI is doing, you know. And so I think as long as companies are being transparent about what tools they're using, the way in which it works, you know, how they are continuing to have a human touch on those processes, I think people will feel a lot less afraid of it in general and just more. Also, it creates a level of trust for the company that you're looking to work for. At Mission North, those are definitely conversations we're having. We're not quite in those directions yet of adopting AI tools in that space, but we'll definitely be transparent. You know, I trust that the company will be transparent about any kinds of extra AI touches that might be a part of those processes.
I was more interested in how you talk about expectations. And if you think about your company at 70% Explorer, right? And as your average company has turnover and you're in a couple of years, a completely new workforce, what is the expectation for prospective new employees? Because that's I think, part of the fear. It's almost in 2022, you're trying to say, are you guys remote? Are you hybrid? I need to understand this. And there's a similar question, I think, for talent. Are you AI native? What does that mean? Like, how much do I need to know? Am I actually going to be able to succeed at this job? It's almost like a question that employers and employees are going to be like navigating as this shift is happening. And I think it's communicated in job descriptions and sometimes in how we work and what we do and things like that. But then I think that is something that's you're talking about it with the existing employee base, but then now you have it also in new hire orientation and it's there. And then it kind of goes even upstream into expectations and even evaluation of skill set to get people started. But it seems, at least for what I'm hearing at Mission North, it's like, you want people who are curious and are, even if they've had no exposure, they're going to be going through this in the onboarding process. And that should be an expectation. In the first, if you've literally never touched an AI tool, you're going to be within the first 3 months and you got to get ready, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of our values is stay curious. And another one is test yourself. So I don't think having a lack of AI skills is disqualifying, but I do think that candidates for any position in any company need to have that continuous learning mentality where it is a new skill set no one is immune to. We are all learning together, and to have that feeling of curiosity. And I think that will set candidates up for success no matter what job they're applying for, because I imagine it was similar when people started using computers or the internet and shifting the way that they're doing work. I think that we should all kind of take this opportunity to look at it as an exciting learning adventure, as opposed to something that is inherently destructive or inherently a bad idea or something. I think it's a mindset. And I think that candidates in all industries have an opportunity to really say, I'm working on my skills and I'm ready to jump in where I need to be. And then from the employer side of things, it's on our end to make sure that we're providing those asynchronous trainings to give everybody the same base knowledge and then support that experimentation and support those knowledge sharing. And not just to say, these are the things that I did well, but these are the prompts that really failed me, or these are the things that I tried to do and I came up with a really bad answer or something like that, to show that, to have people have the freedom and the safety to sort of experiment in that way.
I love that mindset. Now, let me go through an exercise with you, because you've mentioned in the past you're skeptic, Luddite, and also being in on the HR side, you think about risk and policy like issues, but you've had an evolution. So maybe let's like strawman it for you. What are your thoughts about AI and how it's coming into the workforce and how it could apply to you, and how has that evolved?
I think when I first started hearing about AI, I was eye rolling. I don't really know how this is going to affect me. I don't really see this coming into my day to day. And people are talking a lot about it, but it kind of seems like, different things like NFTs were once something that people were talking a lot about. So sure. I was skeptical, to say the least. And I think over time, especially in this last year and a half, you can really see it starting to integrate seamlessly with your workflows. So, at first I remember people talking about, I use ChatGPT to look up restaurant recommendations for my book club. And I was like, that's weird. Isn't that just a Google search? I've never looked at ChatGPT before. And then suddenly, especially with sort of the support of my company talking about good prompts and the ways in which to use it, suddenly crafting better prompts and suddenly getting better outputs and seeing how asking the right questions gets you even better answers. When I first started using it, I definitely asked a question that you would ask a Google search, give me a list of this. And then I got answers that didn't really help me. And then suddenly to learn, you need to put in the context. You need to, who is your audience? What kind of output are you looking for? What do you not want to see? All of those things. Basically treating AI like an intern, giving them a lot of specificity, you'll start to see better outputs. And I think, again, it was that experimentation piece and that sort of drive from my company and from my industry of AI is not going away for for Mission North, for HR, for L&D. Better to jump in with both feet than to be afraid. Better to see how it can work for you versus, you know, backing away from it. It really changed my mind. I could really see that there is a lot of advantages to just playing around with it and just learning the tools.
So then a dual question, looking forward a little bit based on what you've seen, let's talk about HR and L&D and that function, your job and this like function that we're all thinking about future-proofing. So how do you think the L&D function is shifting going forward? You've seen it happening for you as well, right? And then based on that, do you have the implicit question is, what advice would you have for your peers who are in a similar kind of role working for an organization where there is at least a potential for a lot more adoption and upskilling with AI?
Yeah, I think in terms of L&D, everyone knows that a one-size-fits-all approach doesn't work and that there are many different kinds of learners. And so you want to be able to hit people where it is the most effective for them, where they can absorb materials and it has an impact on them. And I think what's really exciting about L&D and the AI capabilities is the way in which AI can really assist the kinds of learning resources that you're creating. So for example, I might be putting together a training, and so I'm creating a deck and I'm customizing it and whatnot. Then I'm creating a resource that people can refer to after the training. So that's something. And then I'm either giving the training live or I'm recording myself with bloopers and all and rewrites and all, and then distributing that around. And that all takes time. And I'm one person, and that is a huge chunk of my day. Whereas if you incorporate AI, there are capabilities where AI can create videos for you. So you're no longer pointing around your screen, but you're actually showing something that maybe is visually engaging for people who are more visual learners. And that also isn't just your face or a deck that you created. There's also capabilities with AI for creating those kinds of presentations or resources from those presentations. And then the last thing that I learned just this year is the capabilities of sort of audio generation. So for those folks who are more audio learners who want to listen to a podcast while they're taking a walk, all of a sudden, suddenly that is something that you can create in a matter of seconds, minutes, by just uploading resources and generating a summary. So there's just a lot more with getting that time back. Then suddenly you have more time to work with people one-on-one. Maybe they went through a training, but it's just not sticking and they need someone to show them they learned by doing. Suddenly you have more time to devote to that. You have more time to devote to other areas of upskilling that people are focused on. And a big part of L&D and HR is obviously the soft skills and getting to know people and talking about conflict or things that make people tick or where they want to go in their careers. And suddenly you have time back to really focus on those tasks that you can't really put a price on, or those are the ones that you can't automate. And so I think it just gives us as L&D and HR professionals an opportunity to automate and make some of those tasks more efficient so that we can put more time and energy towards the strategy and the people focus of our jobs.
Yeah, and actually it sounds like you're going even further than the automation. It's actually creating a better product. So for less time invested, you're creating a more personalized product with different modalities of learning. And also, I think what you described around presentation creation and just content creation is probably just a generic, like for any kind of knowledge worker who's putting content together, can be made more efficient. But then the delivery of that whole process can happen in less time and yet be more personalized. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you have more time to work potentially one-on-one, one-on-two with different individuals to really make sure that they're getting the most out of the content and also growing and learning. And in that way, you're maximizing your impact for the organization as a whole. So, but then I would imagine the floor starts going up, right? The standards for what can one person L&D team deliver over time will be, the expectations will go up because you should be able to do much more, but then you have to experiment along the way to figure out how to do that. It's hard-fought insight. So this is all very interesting. I have to ask, so going forward now with the program, you've done a survey, you've gotten in all these show and tells, you incorporated into All Hands, you've had incorporation into onboarding meetings. What's next, do you think, for your L&D program?
Well, we're coming out with our fourth PR-specific course and following that up with another show and tell. But I think the next step overall is to really just assess how this summer went and where people identify now. I was looking over the survey questions and just thought, I think we can probably send this survey maybe a couple of tailored questions, but just the same questions of how do you identify as an AI user? How often are you using it? And really see what the shift has been. Because I know personally for me, I have definitely shifted in my AI use and I've definitely improved over time. And so I do think that another survey is in our future. And then I think the next step for us is also thinking about what kind of, agentic AI do we want to incorporate, or are there other specific tools that we want to invest in for our PR professionals outside of just the tools that we already have? And that's our next iteration, is how can we pinpoint specific tasks? And if it's not something that we can do with Gemini or TeamGPT, is it something that we can do with something that someone is building for us or for PR firms in general?
Customized for a function or just specifically for you guys. Yeah, absolutely. That's the next level. There's so much more to uncover. So excited to see where it all goes. So how can people best connect with you, Stephanie, if they want to learn more about you or what you're doing at Mission North?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn, Stephanie Leal with Mission North, and excited to touch base with you there.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing your journey personally, as well as how you've seen it, the transformation slowly but surely happening at Mission North and how you're supporting it, and a little bit of a vision of how an L&D team supporting an upskill initiative for an entire organization towards AI, what that could look like. That is something that at least a lot of people are thinking about, if not already executing on. So I think it's going to be massively valuable. So thank you for the conversation and for everyone out there who are future-proofing your orgs and your HR teams. Thanks for listening. Hope you had a couple of takeaways, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye now. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Future Proof HR. If you like the discussion, make sure you leave us a 5-star review on the platform you're listening to or watching us on, or share this with a friend or colleague who may find value in the message. See you next time as we keep our pulse on how we can all thrive in the age of AI. Hey, it's Thomas again. One quick question before you go. Are you and your HR team tired of answering the same employee questions again and again in Slack? If yes, our Cleary AI-powered Slackbot is here to help. It takes routine employee requests and answers it automatically while freeing up time for you to take on more important tasks. At the same time, it automatically builds up an HR knowledge base as you go. It's quick to set up, works right in Slack, and you can try it for free. Just head on over to gocleary.com/HR-chatbot to install it. It's again, gocleary.com/HR-chatbot. Thanks again.